Last week, in SourceCast episode 94, I took a shot at the recent slew of partnerships between large IT firms. Every few weeks, there's an announcement, everybody's all hyped up, all of the tech journalists are asking, what does this really mean? And then what happens? There are more announcements of newer partnerships, but what was happening with the older partnerships? If you listen to this podcast, you know what that means. So this week, we are talking about the complexities of IT partnerships. I hope you like examples, because this episode will be chocked full of examples. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is SourceCast episode 95. Before we get to our main story, let's review the acquisitions that have taken place over the last 7 days. Broadcom is trying to acquire Qualcomm for over $100 billion. Let me repeat that, $100 billion. According to the Wall Street Journal, this is a cash and stock deal that carries a value of roughly $103 billion, and that includes $25 billion of debt. In their official statement, Broadcom is stating that they value the deal at $130 billion. And just so we're clear, in case you are not familiar with either of the two companies, they are both computer chip makers, which is an industry over the last few years that have seen a lot of acquisitions and movements in the M&A space. Security company Proofpoint has acquired CloudMark for $110 million in a cybersecurity consolidation play. According to TechCrunch, Proofpoint, which provides software as a service products to protect businesses' emails, social media, and other services, is acquiring CloudMark, another firm that provides security protection, focusing specifically on serving the ISP and mobile carrier markets. Germany's Continental AG announced last Friday that it is buying Israeli company Argus Cybersecurity. The logic behind this acquisition is that Continental wants to protect new connected cars from hackers. A few days ago, I finished reading Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella's new book, Hit Refresh. It's a really interesting read. I will probably reference it a few times during this podcast and a few other ones in the future. But in one chapter of the book, Satya specifically references the partnerships of Microsoft, mentioning that historically, Microsoft partnered really well with companies like Hewlett-Packard and Compaq to put the Windows operating system on their desktops. But as companies shift into the cloud and start to offer artificial intelligence, friends are becoming enemies and enemies are becoming friends and everyone is becoming a frenemy. Allow me to explain. Let's start with Apple, because they're actually the reason why this podcast is happening right now. A few weeks ago, Apple announced a strategic partnership with GE. Actually, they call it a deep partnership. And what is this deep partnership? According to TechCrunch, Apple and GE committed to build a set of development tools and to develop apps together using Apple's design sensibility and deep understanding of iOS. Apple's sales team will start pushing the GE Predix platform with its industrial customers, when it makes sense. And of course, GE is committing to standardizing all of your desktops and mobile phones to Apple products. And they have 330,000 employees. And when I read that, I said to myself, that sounds very similar to the partnership that they announced with IBM. For those of you that don't recall that partnership, allow me to refresh your memories. In July of 2014, Apple and IBM announced a global partnership. Here's a quote from the press release. The new IBM Mobile First for iOS solution will be built on the distinct strengths of each company. IBM's big data and analytics capabilities, with the power of more than 100,000 IBM industry and domain consultants and software developers, fused with Apple's legendary customer experience, hardware, and software integration, that combination will create apps that transform specific aspects of how businesses and employees work using iPhone and iPad, allowing companies to achieve new levels of efficiency, effectiveness, and customer satisfaction. A year later, in 2015, IBM and Apple did deliver 100 new applications supporting verticals like government, healthcare, telecommunications, transportation, and insurance. Even though that collaboration yielded 100 apps, that seems like an extremely impressive metric, and I'm sure they built more beyond 2015. I want you to think about this. In the last 3 years, have you encountered a joint IBM/Apple application out in the wild, in your personal life, in your professional life? They made the apps, but is anyone using them? I'm not saying this negatively. I haven't heard of anyone using them, but I'm very curious to see who's actually gaining productivity from them. Over the last year, I haven't heard much about this Apple and IBM partnership, specifically as Apple starts to shift to other relationships. But in June of 2017, I did see a news blurb from 9to5Mac stating that IBM is opening garages dedicated specifically to the Apple partnership. IBM has locations branded as IBM Bluemix Garages or IBM Cloud Garages to replicate more of a startup vibe. Now it seems that they're trying to drill down even further and offer a garage experience for strictly Apple iOS enterprise applications. So IBM is still clearly trying to make this partnership with Apple work. It doesn't feel like Apple's still super into it. And it actually reminds me of another Apple partnership with Cisco that occurred in August of 2015. At the time, Cisco and Apple introduced a fast lane. What is a fast lane? Apparently, it promised a more streamlined and optimized experience for those enterprise customers using Cisco networks and products. At the time of the announcement, there wasn't a lot of details, and 2 years later, there still aren't many details. But now I'm going to use Cisco to help transition over to Google, because a few weeks ago, Google and Cisco announced a hybrid cloud partnership. And here's a quote from an article from TechCrunch again. Google and Cisco are committed to meeting customers wherever they are in their journey to the cloud, says Diane Greene, who is the CEO of Google Cloud. This partnership enables developers and IT departments to seamlessly take advantage of the most open, secure tools for building modern applications in a hybrid environment. Once again, the announcement and the specifics of what Cisco and Google are doing together were vague. But the article goes on to say that the general idea is to help bring the power of the cloud to customers' on-premise environments. So now we have Google and Apple both partnering with Cisco, but they are waging war against each other in the smartphone operating systems arms race. And considering that Cisco really hasn't done much with their Apple partnership in the last 2 years, is that deal off? Do they have a bad relationship with Apple now? Or do they have a sour relationship because of the Google announcement? In addition to their deal with Cisco, Google also announced a partnership with Salesforce. Salesforce has clearly had a strategy over the last few years to get their applications on as many cloud platforms as possible. And Google, as I've said over the last few weeks on the podcasts, they're struggling to get enterprise customers on their cloud platform. So such a partnership makes sense. According to the Wall Street Journal, as part of their deal, Salesforce will offer Google's G Suite productivity applications free for up to a year to its customers who aren't already using them. Salesforce has more than 150,000 customers, and the company said less than half of them are currently using the G Suite apps. Salesforce is also intending to weave Google Analytics, which helps people understand the traffic on their websites, with its own sales cloud and marketing cloud services. Salesforce CEO Mark Benioff acknowledged that money was being exchanged between the companies as part of this deal. That news story might sound familiar because Salesforce had a very similar press release with Amazon. So where does that leave Amazon with Salesforce? According to VentureBeat, Salesforce commented publicly and said that AWS will remain a preferred cloud provider to Salesforce. And oh, by the way, the reason that Salesforce and Amazon reached a partnership is because Salesforce and Microsoft's partnership went sour when Microsoft purchased LinkedIn. Salesforce, during the same week that they announced their partnership with Google, announced that they were partnering with Facebook to help expand functionality in Facebook's new workplace social network. I didn't even know that Facebook was trying to come up with a LinkedIn competitor, but apparently there is a Facebook for Business. And Salesforce is integrating their productivity app Quip into Facebook's workplace social network. That makes a lot of sense for Salesforce, because Microsoft can cut off information that Salesforce is currently using in LinkedIn. So it makes sense for Salesforce to create another information channel of professionals and job candidates. So how does this hurt Microsoft and Google? Part of the functionality that was announced is that the collaboration is designed to make it easier to share Quip documents in Workplace. And when you start to focus on document functionality and sharing online documents, that's potential competition for Microsoft Office and for G Suite. As a reminder, in the same week, Salesforce announced a partnership with Google to help push the G Suite online apps. If you're stopping and saying, what is Joey talking about? This was a really confusing podcast. That is the point. This is just a small selection of the partnerships that these companies are making and forging with each other. I'm a little bit cynical. I feel like a lot of these announcements are done to pop the stock for a day or two, get a little bit of traction for a new product line. In most of the partnership announcements that I've read since I started the blog, I feel like there hasn't been a lot of meaningful work done. With the caveat of the Apple and IBM relationship, I think that partnership was weird. And again, I'm not quite sure who's using the products, but they did make a lot of stuff. From a procurement perspective, as customers who are buying products from these companies, there's a weird line that's being crossed. There are always situations where you choose to go to a new supplier because of a sour relationship with the previous one. Things aren't going well, and you decide to move on. As acquisitions are occurring and these partnerships are being announced, the field is getting narrow. If you have a problem with supplier A and you're looking to get away from them, you may find that you're right back in their back pocket because of a relationship with the new supplier you ended up doing business with. Would you ever see a situation where Apple and Microsoft partnered together? You wouldn't think so a couple of years ago, but they are. They're doing it right now. Microsoft is offering Office 365 products on iPhones, and they're making a hard push for those iPad Pro tablets to be the productivity app of choice on that. Apple is buying cloud space from Google. Not a lot, but they are. And of course, there are Google products all over the iPhone. And again, to use Microsoft as an example, Microsoft now allows Red Hat Linux on their Azure cloud platform. I believe Steve Ballmer was quoted as saying, hell would have to freeze over for Microsoft to embrace Linux. And yet here we are. Hell didn't freeze over. They just got a new CEO. As a consumer, these market changes are complex and potentially confusing. And the best way to stay in front of it is to remain educated and understand the business reasons that motivate these decisions. Or just keep listening to this podcast.
And that's all we have for this week. You can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mandarin, New Jersey, and it's produced by my dad. The outro is performed by me, Ben Lombardi, and music is provided by Patrick Lee. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.